This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com. Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So we return on the Paracast this week. Chris is back with us. And we've also, as a panelist, kind of roped in or persuaded Jerome Clark to rejoin us. And we are really glad to have you back, Jerry.
Well, thank you. Looking forward to it.
Well, the topic of our discussion is a new book, but it's not a book about a recent event. It's a book about an event, shall we say, a possible UFO abduction that more or less went under the radar, that occurred back in 1959, 2 years before Barney and Betty Hill occurred. And so we got a hold of a book here from David Boer, called No Return, The Jerry Irwin Story, UFO Abduction or Covert Operation. David, welcome to the Paracast.
Oh, thanks. It's great to be here.
Very briefly, before we get into what attracted you to this story, how did you get interested in covering UFOs?
Well, honestly, I had no plans of doing such a thing. I've always been interested in the subject. But this one took me by surprise, I have to say.
How so?
Well, when it was a story that I had read previously in years past. It was in Jacques Vallée's book, Dimensions, also in Passport to Magonia. And it was one of so many stories in those books. And I recall being struck by it the way I was when I read it again, and I guess that was 2013. For some reason, it wouldn't let me go, and it was a very strange feeling. I just decided I had to find out what happened, because the end of the story, as it was known then, as it was published in Vallée's book, was that, I don't know if I'm jumping ahead here, but as the story was published before, Jerry Irwin, after a series of strange behavioral problems following his UFO incident, disappeared after he deserted his post.
You know, I think it's important also, David, because most people haven't heard of this story.
Okay.
As I said, it's something that has gone under the radar. It's one of thousands of stories that get mentioned in books but doesn't get a lot of coverage. And I think we should really kind of start at the beginning here, that you read about this in Vallée's books. And by the way, Jacques Vallée wrote the foreword to this book. And then you decided to dig into it. But before you even started to dig in, you were obviously reading a lot about UFOs. Have you ever seen one yourself?
Of course, I've seen things I couldn't identify, but whether I've ever seen a genuine unknown is another matter. I would say not. Not that I could actually say that's a genuine unknown.
What got you to start reading about UFOs, though?
I've just always been interested in the subject since I was quite young, in all the unexplained things in life, and you know, from ghosts and other unexplained phenomena to UFOs. I'm not sure why. It's just part of just the way I was and still continue to be.
Okay, so you seized upon this story. You got interested, but I think we need to back up here. tell us more about Jerry Irwin.
Okay. Briefly, the story as it was known before my recent research was that there was a young soldier named Jerry Irwin who was returning from his leave. He had a 30-day leave from his army post at Fort Bliss, Texas. He was driving through Utah, southern Utah, at night, in a late winter. On a late winter night, it was fairly cold, on a fairly quiet highway, and he saw a strange object, a glowing object coming down out of the sky. And he watched in amazement as it seemed to be coming down to the ground. But it was fairly slow, and by the time it disappeared from view over a nearby ridge, he was already stopped and out of his vehicle watching it. And interestingly, although it seemed to crash very close by, it didn't make any sound at all, except all he noticed was a flare-up of light that then died down. And he got out, he decided to investigate. He wrote a note for passersby to say that, ask for people to send for help from the police. And then he wrote in large letters on the side of his car, he wrote stop in shoe polish. And at that point, he just trudged off into the snow to where it looked like this thing had landed. And shortly after that, he lost consciousness. And the next thing he knows, he's waking up in a hospital 24 hours later with no memory of what happened in the meantime.
A quick question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Chris. Welcome to the show. And as you may or may not be aware, southern Utah in recent years has been quite a hotbed of activity. And I'm kind of wondering what highway he was on. Was it Highway 50 going from, say, Rifle, Colorado, through Vernal, that area, to Salt Lake? Or was it further down? Was he on 70? I don't even think 70 was there, actually, in 59, now that I'm thinking about it. Do you know the highway that he was on, the nearest town, perhaps?
What's up? He was, he was getting close to Cedar City, and he took a cutoff on Highway 20 from, I think it was Highway 80, or Highway 91 at that time. It is now an interstate, what's the name of that interstate?
It was 15 that goes down to Vegas?
Yeah. Back then it was 91, and he was taking the cutoff on 20, over to 89, and it was on that section of highway, on Highway 20, where he was found by rescuers.
Okay, that's a very interesting area. I just wanted our listeners to get a geographic sense of where this allegedly occurred. Thanks.
Yeah, I would say technically that's probably southwest Utah. And yes, I'm aware that there are a lot of interesting cases from that area. And more recently, I have read the book called The 37th Parallel. And I'm not sure what to make of that. I don't know if...
don't get me started on it.
Well, without weighing in on the validity of that observation or that argument, I was just a little bit, it did kind of catch me, because the fact that this event in particular was right in that zone. It was like 37 point something.
Hey, let's continue this in our next segment.
Okay.
With Gene and Chris, we have David Booher, author of No Return. We're joined by Jerome Clark. And I brought him on because I want to get his historical perspective. So, Jerry, in our next segment, perhaps, if you have questions to move it along, we'd like to hear from you. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. If you go to store.theparacast.com, stop by and take a shopping tour.
Are you tired of paying fees and commissions to that other site? I know you are. And I'm here to tell you about a great alternative to sell your stuff. BuySellMakeOffer.com is the best-selling site to ever come along. It doesn't matter what you're selling, big or small, it's easier than ever. And you can use Skype to show your items and get to know your potential buyer, and they can see that you are for real. No more blind trust. And you're not limited to snapshots. You can video what you're selling to better sell it fast. For as little as $9.95, and that's after a free 30 days, you can sell everything you no longer want with absolutely no fees, ever. Go right now to BuySellMakeOffer.com and become part of a community of buyers and sellers who have already discovered this revolutionary way of getting it sold online. That's BuySellMakeOffer.com. You'll never regret making the switch. BuySellMakeOffer.com. So, what are you waiting for?
North Korea openly threatens the U.S. and launches a new missile every other week. Their warhead of choice? Electromagnetic pulse. Such an event would cripple the U.S. power grid for years and leave millions in the dark. Are you ready? You can be with a Solark EMP-hardened solar generator. Solark works day in and day out to keep all of your essentials protected. That means you can have peace of mind knowing your power will be there when you most need it. Visit Solark.us to see EMP testing. That's Solark.us. Energy insurance for your family.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Calvent Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Is that Ellen painting her garage?
Yesterday she was trimming her hedges.
What's her secret?
I heard she was eating this new superberry called the Aronia Berry.
Aronia? What?
Aronia Berries from superberries.com. They're known for having one of the highest levels of antioxidants that helps with overall wellness.
Where can we get them?
Go to superberries.com/radio. And right now we get a free smoothie recipe book with our order. Plus we can save $4 at checkout.
I can't wait. I've got lots of projects I need to get done.
Yes, you do.
Choose health. Eat purple. Superberries.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Now, we're offering more goodies than ever if you sign up for long-term subscriptions to the Paracast Plus. Go to plus.theparacast.com. That's plus.theparacast.com. We offer the After the Paracast podcast, which last week had a pretty spirited discussion continuing what started in our teen UFO researcher episode. That was between Alan Greenfield and Jerome Clark. So it gets really, really interesting. You never know what to expect. And we offer it for a modest subscription fee, but if you buy a long-term subscription, you get free books and stuff. Plus.theparacast.com. David Booher is the author of No Return, the Jerry Irwin story. Was it a UFO abduction or covert operation? As we nail down the location here, the part you've told us so far that he's on the road and rescue workers recover him and he doesn't remember what happened for 24 hours.
Yeah, that's basically his story. He didn't know anything about the rescuers. He didn't know anything about how he got to the hospital. All he knew was that he started off on foot looking for this thing, and then it was just all a blank after that until he woke up in the hospital. So everything else we know about that time period comes from the sheriff and the doctor that was treating him and the other personnel that were attending him.
Jerry, you've read the book and you're certainly acquainted with what's gone on in that part of the universe here in terms of UFOs. Do you have something you'd like to ask David about this?
Well, I just make a comment or two here. One is that I vividly remember the Lorenzen's article, and I have certainly forgotten much more than I remember about UFOs. But they published an article in Flying Saucers magazine in 1962, which I read and thought was so enthralling that it has stuck in my memory ever since. And I was just astounded. In June, I was speaking at the Fort Fest near Baltimore, and I was rooming there with Patrick Weege, who is David's publisher. And I asked Patrick, you know, what books he was going to be issuing in the near future, and he mentioned a book on the Jerry Irwin case, and I nearly fell over. I could hardly wait to read it. And I'm just really impressed with the work that David did, and this is really a very interesting book. I also wanted to say something, too, that is sort of secondary to this, but it struck me as someone who's been, like Eugene, in this field a long time. And that is David's tribute to Jim and Carl Lorenzen about, in their prime, what good investigators they were and also decent human beings who cared about the welfare of the people that they were interviewing and whose stories they were investigating. The Lorenzens are really the hero of the story, along with Jerry Irwin himself, just for surviving it all and going on, instead of vanishing mysteriously, going on to live a good and productive and apparently happy life. And David captures all that in the book. It's really quite eye-opening. And I'll have more to say about the content later, but that was my initial impression. I was just going through the book again. I read it last week. I was doing prepping for the show, and I was going through the book again and being reminded of its many virtues. And I will be reviewing it for 40 and Times magazine.
David, you want to respond before we go into the story further?
I'm really glad to hear that, because that was an important thing for me to convey. As I investigated the story and I received more information, as it went along, I just gained more and more respect for the Lorenzens and just their overall contribution, as well as getting some insight into their personalities and their, I guess maybe the word humanity, their sense of their compassion for a young man who was going through a terrible ordeal. So I'm glad that came across.
Okay, let's get back to the hospital here. Let's go through the story here. So he wakes up 24 hours have gone with no memory. So what does he do then?
Well, he tells, of course, the sheriff is grilling him for information, because he's just been through a pretty stressful 24 hours, because he's been notified of a possible as Jerry had written on his note, he was concerned it could be a plane crash. And that's why he was asking people to notify authorities. And so now the sheriff was trying to figure out, well, was there a plane crash? Did you really see something? Even though they didn't see anything on the ground, the next day there was an aerial search that didn't turn up anything. So the sheriff wanted to, as soon as Jerry woke up, the sheriff was on him with all his questions. But Jerry just had very little information to offer. He could only remember setting off on foot, and that was it. So the articles that came out after Jerry woke up, the newspaper articles, added very little information to the record. You know, basically, all he could say was, well, he was taking a shortcut on his way back from leave, and that's what happened to him.
How did he try to get his memories back?
I don't think he was very interested. I think he really just wanted to put the whole thing behind him. But he kept having problems once he returned to duty. He kept having blackouts, spells of unconsciousness and amnesia. And then the Lorenzans around that time got in contact with him. And although at first he was reluctant to speak with them, he started opening up once they reassured him that, you know, they weren't trying to get him in trouble with his commanding officer, or that, you know, he basically told them, you know, I'm a career military man, and I don't want this to mess up my career. But he finally did kind of open and just shared his story. And after a while, apparently the Lorenzans, I think they convinced him that it might be helpful for him to try to retrieve his memories.
Let's go and focus on that in our next segment. So okay. We have Jerry Irwin in touch with Jim and Coral Lorenzan of APRO. David Boer joins us. We have Jerome Clark on the panel with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey Guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Message and data rates may apply.
Hi, I'm Frank Thomas. When I was playing ball, they called me the Big Hurt. But after I left the game, Mother Nature started putting a big hurt on me. I just couldn't stay in shape like I used to. Turns out, it wasn't my fault. Once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone, and that can make it harder to get into shape. But luckily, I found out about Nugenix.
Nugenix is a unique man-boosting formula powered by Testofen, a patented key ingredient clinically researched to help boost your free testosterone levels. Get a complimentary bottle now by texting PRIME99 to 42424. With Nugenix, you can feel stronger, leaner, with a lot more stamina and energy.
And guys,
She'll like the difference, too.
Nugenix is GNC's number one selling men's vitality product. Get a complimentary bottle now by texting PRIME99 to 42424. Nugenix samples are not available in stores. So again, text PRIME99 to 42424.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. ParanormalDate.com. And use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
My name is John Kunkel. I'm 63 years old, and I've been building muscle and losing fat over the last 6 months. I've been using One World Whey to provide a highly assimilable protein and Kappa Mineral Whey to help me get all the minerals I need and support my body's alkaline pH. I've also been using EstroBlock to keep my testosterone levels high and not allow it to convert to estrogen, which happens normally as men age. The extra testosterone also helps in building muscle. The result has been a successful process of converting my body from fat to muscle. I've lost 20 pounds to date.
Join the many people who are converting fat to muscle with One World Whey. The body is chronically hungry for usable amino acids. Cooking proteins destroys up to 75% of the amino acids. Cooked proteins burden the body and accelerate aging. One World Whey's protein content is raw and virtually 100% usable. Substitute One World Whey for one meal of your day and see how much better you can feel. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
This is Robert Hastings, author of UFOs and Nukes, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Okay, the way that one commonly recovers memories, and it's very controversial, is hypnotic regression. Is that one technique that was used, or did they try something else?
Well, actually, what happened was that about 3 weeks after the initial event, Jerry collapsed on a street in El Paso, and he was taken to the El Paso General Hospital, where he was unconscious for a few hours, and when he woke up, he thought he was right back in Utah the night when he saw the UFO. And his first words were, "Again, were there any survivors?" That's what he said when he first woke up in Utah. So it was as if the intervening 3 weeks had not even happened. And they took him to the Army hospital where he had been 3 weeks earlier. And he didn't recognize anybody there. As the doctor reported in his report, at this point, they decided to keep him in the Army psych ward for 32 days for observation. During that time, they administered a sodium amytal interview, also known as truth serum. And that's a way that you can induce a hypnotic trance in someone who's maybe having trouble. Maybe it's someone who's a little resistant to entering hypnotic trance. That's an easy way to induce it, I guess. And the doctor recorded what Jerry said under the trance, but when Jerry woke up, he wouldn't share any information that Jerry had shared with him while under the trance, and Jerry couldn't remember anything that happened during his trance. His his sodium amytal trance is what I mean.
Sure. So was there a reason why the doctor withheld this from him?
Well, he didn't give Jerry a reason. He just wouldn't tell him anything. I think, and Jerry another time actually said, the doctor just said it didn't work. Actually, we were able to get a hold of those hospital records. And the information the doctor recorded is very intriguing. It's interesting that he told Jerry it didn't work, because I guess that reflects the perspective of, well, probably the majority of people, which was, well, there's the things that he were saying just sounded so outlandish. They were just discounted. But, you know, if he had said them 10 or 20 years later, it might have provoked a different response, because these were the things that he was talking about in his trance were, now we would recognize them as features of quote-unquote alien abduction. At the time, there were no such stories.
Now, you got the information from his medical records. Who gave you the medical records? Did he give you the medical records?
Jerry did not have the medical records, but he signed the release form that we sent in to the National Archives and Records Administration. And after several months, the records came. And it contains medical records, service records. It's supposedly it's all they have in their file.
At what point did he have access to the information about what he said during this session?
Well, he never did until he never heard anything about it until we retrieved the records. That's the first time he saw anything about that.
Let's dovetail that for a second here. How old was he when you first met him?
He was 79.
Okay, so we're talking about here decades past. And you have this document that reports on something that sounds like an alien abduction. But in all those years, he knew nothing about it. Did he ever have any memories of anything like that happening?
Not that he's aware of. He actually didn't remember ever, and I don't think he did. I don't think he ever had a chance. He never saw anything that was ever published about him either. Not only did he not remember anything, I guess he could have had a chance if the Lorenzans had showed him their original APRO Bulletin article. He would have had a chance to see that, but he doesn't remember seeing it. But, of course, there's an awfully lot he doesn't remember from that time period anyway.
Did he suffer from a stroke or anything that might have prevented memories of what happened?
He had not. He had been in fairly good health at the time I've talked to him. And the thing is, his memory of events before and after that year are pretty clear. He remembers a great deal about his life before and after. But there's just a lot of holes in his memory from 1959 and part of 1960.
Obviously, most of our listeners didn't read the APRO Bulletin. How did they frame the story? Where did they derive a UFO connection from it?
Well, Coral Lorenzen's article came out just weeks after the initial incident. The initial incident was in February 20th, 1959. Her article was in the March April Bulletin. And it was called Soldier Sees Flash, Unconscious 24 Hours. And so the information she had was from newspaper articles, and then she interviewed Jerry. And she also speculated what it could mean in her article about, because a very intriguing detail came out, which was that while Jerry was still in the hospital and still unconscious in Utah, he was mumbling the words, "Jacket on Bush," repeatedly. And he didn't, when he was awake again, he had no idea why he meant, why he was saying that, except that he had been wearing a new sports jacket underneath his army overcoat when he left his vehicle to go look for this object. And when they brought him to the hospital, his jacket was missing. And nobody knew why. Nobody had seen it. He had on his army overcoat, but there was no sports jacket underneath of it.
So that was a souvenir.
We got more to come with David Boer. The book is called No Return. And we're talking about the strange experience of Jerry Irwin. What caused it? We're trying to figure that out. Jerry Clark's on the panel with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
You want to save money in a place that gives you growth, control, and certainty without stock market risk or tax risk, and you want guarantees and you want it all tax-free. That's a tall order. But you can get all of that with properly designed participating whole life insurance. Most people think life insurance pays after you're dead. That's true. But you can have tax-free access to use your life insurance while you're alive. Get the free book to find out how. Call 702-660-7000.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Welcome aboard. Your new science fiction adventure is ready to launch. Discover an amazing journey at GalaxyQuestBooks.com. Start a new sci-fi adventure with the Guardian series, a classic sci-fi mystery that starts 500 years in the future. From author D. Arthur Gussner. Series available from Barnes & Noble or Amazon as paperback or ebooks. GalaxyQuestBooks.com, where the adventure begins.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it?
I have my health today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book Is From the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Very fascinating episode in Utah, 1959. And once again, as we speculate about this and what happened and what David Boor tells us, remember, this is 2 years before Barney and Betty Hill's episode, their abduction. So we're dealing with something here where the framework of an abduction experience really isn't there yet. So we're trying to figure out what went on. Please go on with your description of how the Lorenzans reported it.
So the jacket on Bush detail really caught Coral's attention. She was totally fascinated, and she speculated for several paragraphs in her article about the implications. Basically, it sounds like she's toying around with the idea of alien abduction without actually saying the words. And she mentioned something about, I don't remember the words exactly, but entities or an intelligence that was unfamiliar with human clothing. so they accidentally or left his jacket off for some reason. She was perplexed. She was just kind of throwing some ideas out there. But she obviously thought it was important.
Now, let's go back in perspective here. Jerry Clark, in those days, in the late 50s, early 60s, before the Hills episode, was there anything at all that hinted at UFO abductions in UFO literature?
Well, as David points out, there was the famous case in 1957 in Brazil about the young man, Vilas Boas, who was abducted by a UFO and allegedly had sexual intercourse aboard the ship. But that case got very little publicity. The Lorenzans were aware of it through their Brazilian correspondent, Dr. Fontes, but they didn't publish it because of its sensational nature. And at one point in 1962, Carl Lorenzen published a book about UFOs. And it was reviewed rather scathingly in Fate magazine by the ufologist Max Miller. And Miller was sort of sneering at the Lorenzans, who he depicted as rather credulous people, which I think was really unfair. But he pointed out that one thing about Coral Lorenzen was that she actually knew of a case of a man who was abducted by the way Max Miller put it was like somewhat uninhibited woman from space, something like that. And Coral, of course, was offended, and she wrote a letter to Fate saying that, yes, they knew of such a case, but they didn't think that it had been sufficiently validated. Well, I discovered this in the 1990s as I was doing the research for my UFO encyclopedia. I went through a lot of the correspondence that the early ufologists had from the 50s and 60s. And it turned out that the Lorenzans actually were fascinated by that case, which wasn't published. It was published in English in 1961. In a Brazilian UFO bulletin, which practically nobody read. The Brazilian ufologist had actually gone out and interviewed those Boas. And it's quite an interesting article, but it had virtually no readership in North America. It was never mentioned anywhere that I've been able to find. But there were a few people, and the Lorenzans happened to be among them, who knew there was this abduction case in the background. And I think that that might have influenced some of their thinking about Irwin's experience, even though they couldn't prove it because Irwin's memory was just completely, almost completely obliterated. But beyond that, yes, there were cases of missing time and so on, going back quite a while, actually. You can actually find cases like that in fairy lore, which are kind of analogous to UFO close encounters. But even in early UFO cases, if you read the actual account that the witness wrote, if you read it carefully, you will find that the witness describes some kind of puzzling time gap or lapse in the course of seeing a UFO. But these things really were not known until, of course, the Hill case opened everything up. But Lorenzans were paying close attention. They knew the Villas Boas case. So I think they approached the Irwin case with what we might call an expanded sense of possibility.
At this point, let's look at Jerry Irwin's life. So after this, shall we say, visit or the time he spent in a psychiatric facility, what happened then? How did this affect his military career?
When Jerry was released from his 32-day confinement on the psych ward, the next day, although the details are depends on which records we're looking at. According to the Army records, 2 days later he went AWOL. According to Jerry's testimony to the Lorenzans, the very next day these events happened, where he went into a trance state and felt an uncontrollable urge to return to Utah to the of his UFO encounter. So he boarded he boarded a Greyhound bus and an overnight bus to Utah, and he disembarked in Cedar City, and he went walking out of town directly to a place along the highway where he knew, he just knew the whole route automatically. And then he just strode off into the bush and went directly to a tree where his jacket was hanging. And there was a pencil stuck through one of the buttonholes of his jacket, and wrapped around the pencil was a piece of paper, which was a note. And he took the pencil out of the buttonhole of his jacket, unrolled the note, and without reading it, he burned it with his lighter. And it wasn't until the smoke rose up from the burning note that he snapped out of his trance and realized his predicament. So that leads into a large open question about where exactly, why he found his jacket where he did, because it didn't mesh with the stories that had been published earlier. So that becomes a big chapter in the investigation.
You mean it's at a different location?
Yeah, it's about where he finds his jacket is about, by road, it's about 50 miles from where they found him on the night of his UFO encounter, on a different highway.
Wow, that's an interesting twist.
Yes, and that was not reported previously. That was not reported. It's really a big puzzle. I don't know why the Lorenzans didn't notice or comment on that discrepancy. And it's something I speculate on, but I have no answers for in the book. But it creates an interesting puzzle, that's for sure.
One thing that's really interesting about David's book is that for all the thorough investigation and smart analysis he directs at it, there still are all kinds of mysteries and intriguing unanswered questions.
That works. We got more to come with Jerome Clark, David Boer, Gene Steinberg, Chris O'Brien exploring the Jerry Erwin story. I wanted to just remind you once again that we have that second radio show after the Paracast. And you can only download a copy if you're a member of the Paracast Plus. Go to plus.theparacast.com. Once again, that's plus.theparacast.com. We also give you a commercial-free version of this show. You can't miss plus.theparacast.com. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Did you know children are 52 times more likely to suffer from identity theft than adults? Credit alerts will not fix the fallout. Liberty ID does, and here's an exciting offer just for you. Go to LibertyID.com and cover your entire family, your spouse, your children, and your parents for only $129 a year. Use promo code FREETRIAL and we'll give you the first 60 days free. That's LibertyID.com, promo code FREETRIAL. LibertyID.com. LibertyID.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.